The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Monday, 31st day of July. Oh, we're only less than two hours away from August 1st, folks. That is how fast this summer has been going by. It has really been going by fast. And there you go. Some say he's a genius. His name is Derek Venus. And he's the board op. And he is our producer tonight. Hey, Derek.
How's it going?
It's going okay so far. And way out yonder, you heard that cackle out there. He is a renowned. He's a legend. Out in Missouri legend. They call him Missouri legend. And that's the pastor and the parson, none other than Joe Larson.
Oh, I don't know about that introduction, but it is a pleasure to be here with you, ready to go to work.
All righty, well, let's get it done. We certainly have a whole lot to do. This world is certainly gives us enough entertainment, don't they?
Yeah, enough to do to keep us off the street and out of bars, so to speak.
Yeah, our job is to be the watchman on the wall, and the Bible gives us very, very clear what we're to say and what we can't say. And, you know, every now and then, a lot of folks out there don't know it, but we'll get little messages saying, well, you cannot say this on the radio, okay? But if it's something that's supposed to be said, Joe, we've got them saying one thing, but then Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33 says something else. It says that we're supposed to say it. So what do we do?
We do what the boss says.
That's
we
right.
Do what God tells us to do.
It's been that way for 50 years. And
well, you and I are bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. So in a way, we're hired. We're bought and paid for by blood, though, not by money.
Amen. Amen. And so, anyhow, we're hired, but we're not tired. We're going to keep taking it right to him, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, the title of the message was, do you remember what the title of the message was?
Yeah, interesting. The Left's Covenant with Death and Their Final End.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 28. And let's kind of take it, we're going to go through verses 11 through 22. And let's take it kind of by verse at a time. So, here, I'll tell you what. Why don't you read verses 11 through 13?
All right. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is rest, the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken.
Well, now, when he's talking about that, he says, you know, For the stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. Now this people, see that another tongue, because of what they've done, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that they would not hear. They would not hear. Now see, God had told him, if they had listened to him, he says, here's what you're going to do. At this point, I want you to go off into another direction. I believe it was towards Egypt. And they had said, no, you're never going to have. Remember what Jeremiah had told them. They said, no, we're not going to have any foreign troops. They're not going to come through the gates of Jerusalem, this and that. And well, anyhow, that foreign tongue he's talking about were the Babylonians, the very cruel Babylonians. And so those that survived the invasion into captivity in a strange land would soon be spoken to in a foreign tongue, aren't they? Because they didn't listen, did they?
No, they didn't. Well, even earlier in Isaiah 28, he's talking about the tables full of vomit and filthiness. No place was clean. The people were not clean, and God was not happy with them for their behaviors.
And so here now, and exactly the type of thing that they did is exactly what the Democratic Party today is doing in America. What those on the left are doing, they're saying, you know, they've made their deal with Satan. They're adopting Satanism here more and more. The Church of Satan is becoming the official religion of the Democratic Party in America today. So he goes on and he says, wherefore, hear the words of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death.
Yeah.
And with hell. Okay. Have the Democratic Party in this country made a covenant with death?
And hell, yes, they certainly have.
Everything.
They have everything anti-Christ they have done.
I mean, everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, transgressions of His law, they've adopted, they've embraced, huh?
Yep, pretty much.
Whereas,
can't think of anything they missed, actually.
Starting with abortion, going to euthanasia, going to sodomy, you name it, you know, pornography, pedophilia, they're trying to pass, you know, legislation, very strong anti-pedophile legislation, anti-human trafficking, child sex trafficking, and the Democrats are fighting it. They're fighting it. They don't want to, you know, they want to make sure that they have children available, and they want to legalize pedophilia. They're very, very wicked people, aren't they?
Exactly, but the rest of that sentence in verse 15 just tells what's going on. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. Why? For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. They are lying, they are deceiving people, but they are, what the Bible says, deceiving themselves.
All right, when they made lies our refuge, okay, in other words, it could have said, we have made the narrative our refuge.
Narrative, yeah. Lines and narrative, pretty much the same.
How much have you seen on NBC, if you turn on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and watch what they're, how much have you heard about what is taking place with Hunter and Joe Biden and the investigation and what is taking place there in these hearings, and especially today, you know, what was taking place with the testimony given today.
Well, up to the day, it's been kind of crickets. They just kind of ignored it. But today, they had to make it sound like, oh, well, this all it was doing is, you know, Joe Biden was just being friendly, saying hello, and, you know, Hunter called him. But he called him every day, all the time, several times a day. It was not uncommon. So basically, all they're doing is compounding the lies and deceit with more lies that are even bolder lies, even more outrageous lies than before.
Well, didn't you hear, Joe, that according to that congressman, that Democratic congressman, Goodman, he says that when Biden talked to these people, you know, like the wife of the mayor there of Moscow, he only talked about the weather.
Yeah, right. Mm. Yeah, Hunter got a $3.5 million fee, so that she could just have lunch with Joe. I'm sure that just talking about the weather was worth $3.5 million.
Wait a minute.
That later.
Didn't he put sanctions on the Russians? But
on the oligarchs, on all kinds of people, except for Elena, the mayor's wife, didn't have any sanctions placed on her at all.
Because we have said we have made a covenant with death and with hell. We are in agreement when the overflowing scourge shall pass through it. It shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge.
Narrative, yeah.
The narrative. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. We just read there 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It tells you who that cornerstone is, doesn't it?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, and this was 700-some years before his birth.
Yep, absolutely. Then he goes on to say, judgment also will I lay to the line, and the righteous to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Well, I mean, it's just unbelievable how that applies to the left in America today, huh? I mean, just unbelievable. Mm. And it goes on to say,
they are under judgment, and they will be under judgment, and it's continuing to get worse. Well, you see that in the next verse.
Right, when he goes on to say, shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down. Well, Joe, you know, we often hear the word this war that we're in. And here in Ohio, we're in a real big war. And I've got to talk about that on issue 1 on August 8th. Folks, listen to me and understand this, because people are confused, and they did it this way on purpose. I actually had some women saying, I'll vote no because I'm against abortion. No, if you vote no, you're for abortion. Listen, no means yes on abortion. No means to take away your Second Amendment rights, okay? No means you're in favor. If you vote no, you're in favor of child sex trafficking. Do you understand me? You must vote yes. You must vote yes. Now, remember this, folks out there, people, because when I was at the post office, there were four women in there, and they looked at the magnetic signs of my car, and they saw this, and they were going to confront me because they were totally misunderstood. And when I explained to them that a no vote meant you're for abortion. A no vote means you're for child sex trafficking. A no vote means you're against Second Amendment rights. When they understood this, then they all thanked me and said, thank you so much. What actually?
So the left does that. They write those bills so they're so confusing that the simple-minded are those who pay little attention to politics or the news, are easily confused, swayed, and it's basically a form of lying, because you're being disingenuous. And we've told people over and over, the left, it's always the opposite. If they say that we're cheating, they're saying that they're cheating. You know, it's kind of like when they called Russia collusion. Who is colluding with the Russians?
They are.
The Democrats were. Yeah,
yep. Hillary Clinton.
And Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And yeah, that was the Russian collusion.
Always, yeah, they always, remember Karl Marx said that, always accuse your opposition, your enemy, of doing what you're doing. Anyhow, we often hear the war that's raging between good and evil, between clean and unclean, between righteous cause and the unrighteous cause, between the right and the left. Left. We hear that referred to as the culture wars. And some of these pastors out there, one good thing that's happening in Ohio here, Joe, some of the pastors are finding courage. Some of them are finding, I'm hearing more and more, they're actually getting in the pulpit and they're preaching from the pulpit telling the people to go vote yes. Okay, now, what has caused this? I think they're finally maybe awakening here. But some of these, and these mega churches said, we don't get involved. That's political. Let me explain something to you. Mr. Prissy Preacher, pull your pink bloomers up. These are not political issues. These are sin issues. Mr. Prissy Preacher, these are sin issues. Abortion is a sin. It's a horrible sin, Mr. Prissy Preacher. Sodomy is a horrible sin. Child sex trafficking is a horrible sin. And for you to remain silent and not preach it and not speak out boldly and tell your people to get out there and go and vote yes on issue one on August 8th, that is a horrible sin too.
Look at Scripture. God hates lies and liars, and he talks about they have a place in hell. And there's so many verses on lies that we don't have the time to go into. And when they come out and lie by omission, when they make confusing bills to confuse the people, especially about life and death issues, then it is beyond me why a pastor cannot see their duty is to tell the truth to the people and preach it from the pulpit.
There's two reasons, Joe. One, most of them are not even saved. Two, they're afraid. They're just, now, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. So if they're cowardly, what does that tell you?
They're not a pastor.
So if you're saved,
probably, and two, they're not a real pastor.
So if people are out there and they're attending the church and the pastor's not bold, he's not as bold as a lion, he's not, what does the Bible tell them they should do? Come out from amongst them, be you separate from them.
Be you separate, yes.
They need to go, they find a church where the pastor has been raised up and put in that pulpit by God, huh?
It's not a job. I know the public school system had a school to work out there, and they listed the job of a pastor as a job. It's not a job. It's a calling. It's something you are called to do. A job is something you decide to do because you, oh, it's fun work, make a lot of money, I like to travel, I want to do this for a career. Being a pastor is a calling. When the Holy Spirit touches you, God calls you to serve and work for him. It's totally different. There's no correlation there.
All right, very good. Joe, you know, what's happening out there, we're seeing, I had mentioned to you how the Democrats are virtually embracing now Satanism as their religion. In New Mexico, Governor Michelle Gershom, Joe, has a taxpayer-funded hotline referring women to the Satanic Temple Abortion Center. To the Satanic Temple. What do? They use the bodies of the babies. They tried in Texas to pass legislation saying abortion and sacrificing of children is part of their religious ceremonies, and a judge told them to take it and go pound salt, okay? And so, but in Texas now, this is wickedness. This, to do this is rebellion against God. Would you turn to 1 Samuel 15 and read me verse 23?
15. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Every once in a while I get that wrong. Hang on one second. I had 5 down there. 15 and then do verse 23. Oh, slow. Okay, here it is. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness.
No, I think you got the wrong one. First?
Oh, I went to... I'm
you're in Second Samuel.
I went to Second, yeah.
Yeah, go to First Samuel. Okay.
15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
Now, here the Lord, or Samuel, is talking to Saul. God had given Saul strict orders to go out and eliminate the Amalekites, every man, child. Every man, woman, and child. No. And every animal, all of their herds. And Saul didn't do that. In fact, he kept Agag.
He wanted to keep all the spoils, right?
Well, not all the spoils. He slaughtered the ones, but he kept the best sheep in that. And he brought them to offer as a sacrifice to God. And that's not what God said. God wanted obedience. So when Samuel came along, he said, "What's this I hear? I hear the bleating of sheep. Where are these sheep?" And so Saul started making excuses. But what they would do is they would keep the best livestock, even though they were under orders to eliminate every man, woman, and child and all the livestock. And he would keep the prettiest women in that. Now, some people would say, "Pastor, well, I mean, why would God want to kill even the little children? You know, we're always against abortion. Why would he want to kill the little children?" Joe, do you have any ideas? I'm pretty sure I know exactly why he would do that, okay? Did God not...
Because these people as a group were very sinful, and he wanted to stop the sin, didn't want it carried over in the next generation.
How about, do you think God would be totally aware of how these people would deal with their children, how many they would offer up as sacrifices for their orgies?
Right.
The life that these children would live. So God decided to take them home. The little children he would take out of there, okay? He would take home. But now here, now God understood something that Saul didn't know yet, but he was soon to find out. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. So he was comparing Saul to a very witch, because of his stubbornness, iniquity, and so, and rebellion. But Saul didn't know. And then here, very shortly after, he finds out that there's Saul going over to see the witch of Endorah. And so here, again, in 1 Samuel 28, verses 7 through 12, we see that the Lord understood ahead of time what he was making a statement there about Saul. And so when I go back to New Mexico, to the governor, Michelle Gershom, and her rebellion against God, isn't that the same as witchcraft?
Yes. Because if you use that for an example, it is a perfect example of witchcraft. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
All right. We're going to have
and
to stop.
She's definitely in rebellion against God, right?
Oh, absolutely. She's in rebellion against God and making a mockery out of America and everything we stand for. And so we're going to have to stop there. But we see two others. We see, well... Actually, we see Hillary Clinton, or Drusilla,
right,
who's a witch and covenant, head of a covenant of witches. But also, many are saying that here in Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Dana Nessel from Michigan also are a part of that covenant, that wickedness. So we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Look at your reflection in the mirror. How can I explain to you when death you mock me and reject the truth at hand. You spread your vicious rumors all across this troubled land. You willfully and knowingly transgress from his command. Your mind has been made up to you by people you don't know, whose thought machines control the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend this sinful subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like petty thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul, these lies that blind your eyes? Blinded by the lies, have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Thought machine controls the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies.
Alrighty, blinded by the lights. We have a prayer request here, and I want to go with this. We have two ladies now. One is Pam and one is Jane. One of them's here in Cleveland, one of them's in Pennsylvania, and they're both asking for prayer because they're both being evicted. Jane, I do know more about her. We've had her on the air before. She had her situation with her adult 45-year-old son that she was needed 24-hour care. He is now better, and she is able to pay her rent, but they still, the landlord still wants to evict her out of there. And so she's hoping to be able to move back here to Ohio. As far as Pam goes, all I know is I just said that she's being evicted and she asked for prayer. So let's do this. Let's offer this up to the good Lord. He knows both ends of this. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Pam's situation. I don't know which Pam is calling me, but I just want to hold this up and ask, Lord God, that you would intervene and your perfect will would be done in this situation, Lord, because you are a just God and you're a holy God. And, Lord, the same thing with Jane out there in Pennsylvania, that you would intervene on behalf of these two women, Lord, so that they can continue to have a place to live. These things we ask now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah.
We have Sarah McGurvey, who is one of our pro-life activist and a What's Right, What's Left contributor here. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. What's up, young lady?
Just reminding everyone who's in Ohio that, you know, early voting is underway for issue one. The election is August 8th, and it's never too early to vote and get out there and tell your neighbors, tell your friends to vote yes on issue one.
All right, very good. We got to do that. Yeah, I was just talking about that. I was telling people about, I was in the post office there the other day. There were four women in there, and I got those big magnetic signs in my car. And, you know, it talks about yes on August 8th, vote yes on issue one. And the one woman says, well, I'm going to vote no, I'm against abortion. And I said, a no vote means you're for abortion. A no vote means that you're for child sex trafficking. A no vote means you're against Second Amendment. And all they said, what? And I said, yeah, read it. And all four of them said, one of them was actually a little hostile in the beginning because she was an avid pro-lifer. And then when she found out who I was, then she realized she believed me then. And then all of them said, thank you so much, because we all had the wrong idea of that. And so, and that's why the other side, they make sure that these things are written the way they are, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's still some confusion out there. Someone called our office, Right to Life in East Ohio, today, and they were still very confused because, you know, the ballot measure for November is obviously for abortion. And then issue one, which is on the August 8th ballot, came up after that. So there has been some confusion, but obviously issue one would be to simply create a higher standard for amending the state constitution, which goes into effect immediately, so that come November, when we do face the abortion ballot, if that's already in place, then it will protect innocent life and women and families. And so a yes in August is like a barricade to November. Also, there is a glimmer of hope out there. There are many volunteers right now who are looking through some paperwork filed by the petition circulators for the abortion amendment. And if even one person messed up, then we could potentially get that off the ballot. So pray that, you know, the truth be seen and that we can look through all of it to ensure that God's will be done, that babies are protected, women are protected, families are protected, and that sanity stays in Ohio.
Okay, Sarah, listen. Now, I ran into all these people out there. They brought them in from outside the state of Ohio. You have millions and millions and millions of dollars of dark money coming into Ohio to pass this. And these are the same people, folks, that are behind. They're the same ones that do not want you to pass any anti-child sex trafficking legislation. They're the same ones that are trying to keep, that want to legalize pedophilia. These people here, they're bringing this dark money into Ohio. These people were being paid. They were out there being paid $15, $20 an hour to get signatures, okay? And most of them had, some of them actually didn't have no idea. All they knew is that it was an easy job. Now, do you think these people, some of them are going to be very, very careful, or do you think some of them are going to be very careless? They're just out for the money.
I think, you know what, I have been assisting in looking over these petitions, and when I'm looking through them, the ones who are hired actually have fewer signatures than the ones who are volunteers. And I just think, you know what? Like, God bless that person. Because if they have only one signature submitted at all and they're paid, it means they really were just in it for the money and they probably didn't know what they were doing. So I'm thinking, you know, Father, forgive them. I hope they didn't know what they were doing because they weren't working too hard to get it. So I'm like, okay. Thank God they weren't trying that hard. But also, Father, have mercy on their soul, and hopefully they repent. But, I mean, many of them, I think, were just in it for the money. And even now, you know, people are out there still campaigning as a no on issue one. And I'm sure they're being paid for it, too. I don't have all the reports, obviously. But, I mean, everything that has to do with demonic stuff usually involves greed and selfishness, and those things usually include money. So we can't discount that, obviously. We just got to keep praying for them to repent of their ways and see the light, and you know the scales fall from their eyes, and they can see the truth, and you know, come back to God and do what God needs them to do, so we can, you know, really get back to a culture of logic and sanity and family and goodness, and just get back to the fundamental family unit and just go further in the better direction. We got to kind of just overcome these obstacles right now to get more in the future in a positive way. You know, I mean, like, I was at a house yesterday, and they were saying how messed up everything is in Washington, D.C., you know, with the White House and stuff. And America needs a lot of prayers right now, and Ohio needs a lot of prayers. And just people need a cult. People need a shock back into reality, you know?
Right. We have a T-shirt that I wear, and I'll probably be wearing it tomorrow night over my other shirt. It says, America needs Jesus. And it says the same thing on the cap. And on the back, it says, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Okay? And that's from Genesis to Revelation. How can the folks that want to sign up and look at these and check these out, how do they get in touch with you?
So they can email me, director@rtlofneo.com. So to make it easy, director@righttolifeofnortheastohio.com, but only the letters RTLOFNEO.com. And then I can forward them the information to get involved with this, because the deadline is Friday to get these all submitted by. And while we do have many volunteers, if we have more, then that could help alleviate the burden and make it go faster and really ensure that we can, in fact, get this thing kicked off and, you know, and have a much safer Ohio overall.
Well, you know what? You've got a bunch of folks out there that are like Joe and I. They're old-timers, but they're still activists. They're still out there. And that's what I've been doing. I've been out there putting these signs out all over and attending these different meetings.
Well, for those who don't have, and for those people who could not understand the email address I just said, they can also call our office, and I can provide information over the phone to them and answer those questions over the phone at 330-762-2785. I'll be there between 9 and 5 tomorrow if they want to call then to get more information.
And you're talking to Sarah McGurvey. All righty. And thank you so much for that information, Sarah. You're a sweetheart.
Amen. Let the truth be told, right?
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus.
God bless you guys.
God bless. We love you.
Thank you
so much.
All right. Have a great night.
You do the same. Yeah, she is a sweetheart. She's out there, boy. I'm going to tell you. It's like, Joe, I got to say this, you know, it's like the ladies in our church, you know, some of those pro-death women were out, really nasty women out there at Communist Party headquarters. One of them was running around snapping pictures, so she comes up to put her phone in face, so I put my phone in her face. But the thing of it is, with these women, Joe, they're vulgar. They use very vulgar language, you know. It's bad coming from a man, but it just sounds worse somehow coming from a woman.
Well, nowadays women are, I think, more foul-mouthed than men. I've got, like you, piles and piles of different news stories, the hard part's picking. But in every case, when you have a liberal, where you have a radical lefty, a communist, a socialist, a Marxist,
a witch.
They just cuss. They cannot speak without using the frog word, without, you know, just filthy, foul-mouthed language. They can't speak without doing that.
I had, when I was preaching, there was a group of us pastors preaching at the Sodomite parade, and one of his young Sodomites come up, and he was running that mouth. And I said, you know, there's a reason why people talk the way you're talking there and what you're doing. He says, why is that? I said, well, one, normally it's a sign that you didn't have a very good upbringing, okay?
One, yeah.
Two, it's a sign, okay, that obviously you're biblically illiterate. And three, it's a sign of low intelligence that you have a very, very limited vocabulary, which means it's a so So he says to me, are you saying I'm blankety-blanket stupid? I said, that's it. You've got it.
Exactly. You got it.
And he just looked at me, and then he didn't say anything else. He just looked at me and turned around and he walked away.
Because he couldn't think of anything to say without cussing.
Right. And but like I said, it seems, you know, when you and I were growing up, you never heard women talk that way. They were much higher caliber. And so
even the guys didn't use certain words and things. There were too many mothers, and where I lived, their fathers would wash your mouth out with soap.
Oh, yeah. In fact,
there were a couple of things that were verboten you did not do. And if somebody heard that you were using that word, boy, you'd rather the police took you to jail than send you home.
Oh, yeah. We'd be working on a job, and if a woman was to come on there, somebody say, hey, watch your mouth. There's a woman coming here. Because we had respect, and, you know, today don't work that way. I mean, they've gotten... But this is why I started to say, the church I pastor, I'm going to tell you, you won't find a finer group of ladies anywhere. It's just that, I mean, they're real ladies. They're real godly women. And, you know, whatever I ask them to do, they'll do. Okay, I mean, you know, if it means working late on the newsletter or going out, putting out signs for the pro-life, and they ask me, but they're ladies. They're real ladies. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the things that makes being a pastor of doers of the word such a very pleasant thing. So,
we've got a lot of those wonderful ladies out here in Missouri, too, out in the country. And God-fearing, Bible-believing women, and they act like ladies, always.
And you know what, Joe? They can cook. Whenever we have a church dinner, I mean, those gals, they can cook. I'm telling you. Yes, they really can. Anyhow, we got to get on. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Oh, here, I got to tell you this. Tomorrow night, the Geauga County Tea Party, we're going to have state representative, I've got legislation here, but we're going to have state representative Steve Demetrio from Bainbridge. He is going to be speaking for 90 minutes on issue one. Now, the address is 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland, Ohio. It starts at 6:30. Now, he's also State Representative Demetrios and State Representative Tom Young, Joe, have introduced legislation that will not recognize central bank digital currency as money in Ohio. Now, the reason for that, the central bank digital currency is digital money that is issued by the U.S. Federal Reserve, Foreign Reserve System, or entities that are processed or validated by the Federal Reserve as digital representations of value that is not available in physical form, but can be used as a medium of exchange, a unit of account, or a store of value. Now, the legislation will protect Ohio consumers and businesses from federal policies that do not promote economic freedom, said Young. The legislator will not allow federal overreach when it comes to Ohio's financial freedom. Even the Democrats should be against this, because it's going to affect them too, okay? In March of last year, Joe, Biden issued an executive order taking federal agencies to assess the benefits and potential risk of development of central bank digital currency. And, Joe, it's all bad. It's bad. So we got to get behind.
The World Economic Forum has been pushing digital currency governance.
Yep.
They have a consortium. They want to implement a cashless society that relies entirely on government agencies and banks, which would operate on digital currency issued and controlled, guess what, by the governments and by the central banks. And different countries right now, like England, is embroiled in conflict. One of the conservatives risk going to jail. He went to an Aldi store. They will not accept money. And he bought, on purpose, a pint of strawberries, paid cash. They called the police and wanted him arrested for theft because they are a cashless store. And they are spurred by Amazon, which is working all over Europe to have its own cashless checkout system called Amazon One Payment. Whole Foods Europe has already implemented a palm payment where you, at 500 stores where you walk up, put your palm over a machine, a reader, a computer readout machine, and after it sees your palm, deletes your money from your account, whatever your palm is tied to. And the Whole Foods are, you know, don't want to, people won't need their wallet, telephone, anything. They just walk in, put their hand over the Amazon One device, and everything is taken care of for you, except you have no control over this digital internet type of banking system. It's going to be the elites will control it. If they control the money, they control you, your life, your business, your health, wealth. They control everything if they control the money. This is huge.
Well, we've got to, again, we're going to try to pass this in Ohio, and if we do it in Ohio, other states will follow along. This is why they're targeting Ohio, because Ohio is a red state. We're becoming more red all the time, and the reasons is the Tea Party. Although
right, they do not like that because you're a big, important state.
And we have people that are escaping out of California, and they're coming here. They want to move in out here. We're out because of Constitution counties. And, you know, because we have constitutional carry and the Tea Party. But the problem of it is some of these people coming from California, they're bringing their so-called California values with them. We want them to leave them behind. We don't want that here.
Leave your cow manure in the pasture where you left it.
Absolutely. Let's do some. We got to do some lightning rounds here. Just recently, we had Pastor Bill Grady on the radio program. But he was here a year ago. And when he was here a year ago, he was telling us about the Biden crime family. How when he was a young man, he was there working in New Hampshire. He was working as, I guess, a college student, and he would be servicing these restaurants and bars. And he went to the one where Bill Stevenson, that was Jill Stevenson, that was her husband, who now is Jill Biden, okay? And he went there, and he met this Bill Stevenson. And Bill Stevenson was telling him, because while he was there, who came in several times but Joe Biden. And Bill Stevenson had told him that he's having an affair with my wife. My wife is, she's a cheater. And, of course, she professes to be a hot wife. And so he told us that about a year ago when he was here. But now here's what Bill Stevenson says, the Biden crime family literally operates like an old-school Italian mafia, according to Joe Biden's ex-husband. As the New York Post reported, Bill Stevenson, who was married to Jill from 1970 to 75, explained how the Bidens have bullied him for years in an interview with the Newsmax, Greg Kelly. After Stevenson and Jill parted ways, Joe's brother, Frank Biden, started demanding that Jill have the house, and she and Stevenson were sharing. Stevenson got a nasty surprise after he brushed Frank off. Frankie Biden, and I'm looking at a picture there. Oh, boy. And again, she was a cheater. Frankie Biden and the Biden crime family comes up to me. He goes, and give her the house or you're going to have serious, serious problems.
Yeah.
I looked at Frankie and I said, are you threatening me? And needless to say, about 2 months later, my brother and I were indicted for tax charges of $8,200.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess who ordered Frankie to screw over Stevenson? None other than Senator Joe Biden himself, according to Stevenson. I was on the wrong side of them, and they have literally come after me for 35 years in a row, one little thing after another. And then here's a picture of them standing there with his infidelity, his wife, the cheater, Mrs. Biden. Okay. Anyhow, now, so much worse than people understand, they need to smoke them out. Attorney Mike Davis on what must happen following Hunter Biden's courtroom fiasco. On Wednesday, Delaware Democrat Judge Marilyn Noriega, this is unbelievable, rejected the shameless sweetheart plea for Hunter Biden. The plea deal, they figured she's a Democrat, she's going to go along with no matter what kind of corruption. Cover Biden's tax issues from 2014 to 2019, his drug use and gun charges that were able to be pled as two misdemeanors for the tax change charges and a diversion on the gun charges. During that hearing, the court learned that the sweetheart deal for Hunter Biden via the Biden corrupt Department of Justice that's run by the Don over there, Merrick Garland. You talk about corruption, and included a non-written agreement that would prevent the court from charging Hunter Biden of any additional crimes in the future, and that came out in the court. Well, but they got caught. Even a Democratic judge would not sign off on this lawlessness. On Wednesday evening, attorney and Article 3 Project founder Mike Davis joined Steve Bannon on the War Room. And Davis told the War Room audience what must happen next. Okay, well, I'm not going to go into all that because it's very lengthy.
But, yeah, lengthy. I just want to add one thing that when Stevenson gave all kinds of evidence about the future president, Jill being seen together, having dinner together, kissing, all kinds of things, and he said the breaking point came when his wife, Jill, passed up a chance to go with him to meet Bruce Springsteen, who was supposed to be singing at his bar. And he was going to take her and introduce her to Bruce Springsteen personally. She refused. She said she couldn't because she had to go watch Joe Biden's children. What a slap in the face. That woman is a real WITCH.
Mm. Well,
that's pretty cold. I can't go with you to something super special that most people would have been excited, but she had to go watch Joe Biden's children for him. Yeah, right.
Well, I've watched her with several different men, and there's another word used for her infidelity. Okay.
Right. I try not to use it on radio.
She doesn't even try to hide it. I mean, she's trying to be a hot wife out there. A little bit too old for that, isn't she? She don't know that.
You're not too old to sin, I guess, right? Well, never too old to sin.
All right, well, we're coming up to a break. When we come back, I'm going to introduce, we've got a clip we're going to play. It's very interesting. So don't go away. Be right back with a whole lot more, folks. And, again, don't go away. We'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.